It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome to our Bible study segment here at the table, and Connie Stanfill is here. Connie, we're starting the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7 today, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're going to learn more about Jesus and his impact on people. Remember yesterday and the day before, we've been talking about that great miracle of feeding 5,000 men and maybe 20,000 people. And then now we're going to have another account of an encounter of Jesus with religious leaders. And again, these were people who did not understand who he was or look to him for his teaching. So we're in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. And I will read half of the account and we'll talk about it. And then I'll read Jesus' explanation in answer to them. It says, "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat until they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of elders. And then when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?' And he said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."'" We find from the beginning of this passage that the Pharisees gathered to him, and they had come from Jerusalem, and he's in Galilee at this time, and so they are looking for him, and you can get the sense that they're actually looking to find some fault with him, because they watch his disciples, and they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and the elders had a tradition of a certain manner of washing their hands after they had touched anything that wasn't considered clean, and that could be money or objects in the marketplace or anything to do with the Gentiles. And so to be clean, what they needed to do is do an elaborate ritual where they first held their hands with the fingers up and someone poured water on it, then they turned the hands over and had someone pour water on them with the fingers down, and then they rubbed both fists together. And it's a ceremonial washing because it didn't actually get all the germs away. We know you need soap and water in at least 20 or 30 seconds to do that and all, but this was what they did to indicate that they then were clean to go ahead and eat. This tradition is not in Scripture. It was not commanded by God, but it's very important to the Pharisees. And then they had surrounding traditions that had to do with how they washed vessels and dining couches and all sorts of other aspects of daily life. So in verse 5, the Pharisees are bold enough to come to the Lord and say, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders?" Meaning, why as a teacher not teaching your disciples to do the right things, but to eat with defiled hands? And then the Lord said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" And so the Lord is pointing to their hearts and saying that the external ritual of this washing is not what honors God. What honors God is a heart that knows God and worships him and desires to obey his commands because they know God. What we're going to find as we go on, that he explains further about what this means. The other idea is, as we talk about the law, we know that the Lord saw the law to be extremely important, and he actually came to fulfill the law, because in Matthew 5, it says, Jesus said, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord is saying that the scribes and Pharisees don't have a righteousness that's great enough to get them into heaven. And it's true. In Romans, we know that no one is saved by the law, because none of us can perfectly fulfill it. Only Jesus Christ could. And so Jesus is really holding the law of God up to a very, very high standard. But we're going to find as we study some more in this passage, what he's really taking issue with the Pharisees about is this tradition of man. Because for the Pharisees, the tradition of man, the tradition of the elders, actually came to be more important than God's commandments in the law through Moses. And that was the real problem. So the external ritual of doing things in a certain way, they thought made them right with God, when they didn't understand what God wanted was a heart that was for him. I'm now going to read the rest of our passage, verses 8 through 13. The Lord then said to them, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And that was the problem. They didn't understand the intent of the law, the heart of the law, what God was really saying. They were holding to man's traditions. Verse 9, and he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.'" The Lord is quoting there from Exodus, two passages, which is on our study guide in chapter 20 and chapter 21. And that was part of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And then if you didn't honor your father and mother, you were subject to death. But in verse 11, the Lord says, "But you say, the Pharisees say, if a man tells his father or mother, 'Whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you are no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." So back in verse 11, when he says, if you say a man tells his father or mother, "Whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God," that's a special vow given to the Lord, saying that what I have is given to you, God. And that is from Numbers, where if you made a vow to the Lord, you were supposed to keep it. But what was happening and what was encouraged by the Pharisees is a person could decide that all of their wealth and accumulation and property and all would be given to the Lord when they die or when they wanted to. But if they did that, they said it was all devoted to the Lord, then they couldn't use those resources to help other people. They couldn't use those resources to help a widowed mother or elderly father who needed financial assistance, because those resources had already been dedicated to the Lord. And the problem is they'd set aside the intent of what God had meant when he said, honor your father and mother, meaning love and respect and reverence and take care of them if they need help. And you can see that the Pharisees probably had an ulterior motive in this, because the more money that was given to the temple was the more that was shared among the religious leaders and that type of thing. But Jesus really points out that they have set aside God's command, put their own command in a sense above that, and totally neglected the intent of the law. Really, human tradition is never to be above God's word. And when we think about what other teaching in the Bible is about taking care of things, it reminds us of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 and 8, where Paul talks to the Christians about how they're to treat their families. Verse 4 says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." And verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." When we consider this, Jesus, again, by example, showed what God's intent was for the law, and truly the Pharisees had set that aside. They'd made their human traditions and words more important than God's word. And that's not a good place to be at all. Throughout Scripture, we find out that God's word lasts. It's eternal. It always achieves its purpose. There's some other scriptures that we can look at that are written on your study guide. But truly, as I consider this passage and what Jesus is teaching, perhaps a good question for all of us to consider anytime we're in any situation is to ask ourselves, well, what does God's word say?
A very good idea. And we try to encourage that a lot here at Naomi's Table, Connie. So thank you so much. You know, ladies, all the notes that you'll find at naomistable.com, available for you anytime. You can just go there and download them from the Bible Studies tab. And Connie, we're going to talk more about this when we come back.